Okay, friends, hi. We begin with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 160A. We're studying Venus together again, mostly from Cosmic Fire, I think, page 680, about 15 pages left to go in our book here. The Fourth Kingdom and the Hierarchy of the Planet. Certain facts have already been grasped and realized by the average occult student who has been pondering this teaching with care. And notice this is the second ray method, to ponder with care. The second ray method. He is aware that the juncture of spirit matter and mind, or manas, was effected during the third root race, and that the definitely human family, because before that, you know, rather humanoid, we might say, became present upon Earth from that date, approximately 21 million years ago, according to the lore of the Ancient Wisdom. He knows that this was brought about by the coming in bodily presence of certain great entities. And he has learned that these entities came from the Venusian chain, that they achieved the, well, and maybe we might say inspired by the solar logos, heart of sun, and by the logos of Venus. Okay, that they achieved the necessary juncture, undertook the government of the planet. Well, in bodily presence, certain great entities, the definitely human family, but we're talking about more than that. We're talking not just about the coming of the solar angels. We're talking about these certain great entities, also the lords of the flame, from the Venus chain of the Earth, of the Venus chain of the Earth scheme. And he's learned that these entities came from the Venusian chain, yes, that they achieved the necessary juncture, undertook the government of the planet, founded the occult hierarchy. And that, so this is, let's say, definitely the lords of the flame, and that through though some remain with the chain, the remainder have returned to their originating source, and this may be our chain. This, in many ways, sums up the totality of the present knowledge. And let us briefly enlarge upon it, correct certain erroneous interpretations, and ascertain one or two new facts, and we might tabulate these as follows. So I think we're going to need to deal with a map here. This particular map. Okay. First, it should be borne in mind by the occult student that this advent signalized the taking of a physical vehicle by the planetary logos and was literally the coming of the avatar. Of course, he, in a sense, had a physical vehicle, but had to submit it to his more direct presence. So via Sanakumara, he did this. And there was a major initiation of the planetary logos was undertaken at that time. Was it the first initiation? Okay. If it was, then individualization on a planet was most important. The heart center is always stimulated. at the first initiation, and individualization, the coming of the solar angels, was an activation of the planetary heart center. Okay. So, this Advent, interesting the word in its usual religious connotations, but the coming of a savior, the coming of an avatar, the taking of a physical vehicle, or let's just say the descent, okay, we'll look at it this way. The descent of the planetary logos into his physical vehicle via his emanation, Sanat Kumara. Okay. This advent was brought about by a definite systemic alignment. So, and of course, the solar logos was involved because the solar angels came from the heart of the sun. The Venus scheme of the system, the Venus chain of the Earth scheme, and the Venus globe of the Earth chain. And we can partially see this here. Here is the Venus chain of the Earth scheme, and here is the Earth chain of the Earth scheme. And if we go back one, no, go forward one, we will see the Venus scheme. And we will see as well the Venus chain, I think here, of the Earth scheme, and the Earth chain of the Earth scheme. So the alignment was between the Venus scheme, the Venus chain of the Earth scheme, if that's the one that is correct, and the Venus, we'll look a little closer, and the Earth chain. Now we'll go back. Yeah, this is correct. See, as we go back and forth, we see it's this one, which is also this one. All right. That the planetary logos did not come from the Venus scheme, even though, you know, we can say, even though he is the, what's called the Lord of Venusian, no, Venusian love, but from the Venus chain of his own scheme, the Earth scheme. So this is the way clarifications occur, and it is sometimes allowed that misconceptions are sustained until either humanity corrects them or until it is seemed wise to correct them. Owing to the systemic alignment, logoic, kundalini, could flow through a certain triangle of which two points were Venus and the Earth. Well, you know, we could be dealing here either with Mars for animal man, or with Mercury as the ruler of the fourth grade of hierarchy. This caused an acceleration of vibration and enabled the heavenly man of our scheme to take a minor initiation and to set about his preparations for a major initiation. Well, okay, the heavenly man of our scheme, so this has to be the planetary logos, but from a Venus chain of his own scheme. Now, we have to put this together. You know, we have to say, was individualization really a major initiation for our planetary logos? Or did he take one in a series of minor initiations in preparation for instance, the impending second initiation of a cosmic kind. If it was a minor initiation, I think it would have to be the third initiation of a minor kind, and see, for instance, TCF 384, one of my favorite pages, as it gives such insight into the degree of progress we have made on our planet and within our solar system halfway through, and what the crucifixion initiation of the planetary logos, crucifixion in a minor sense, and upon within our chain and upon our globe means to him and to us. So enabled the heavenly man of our scheme to take a minor initiation to set about his preparations for a major initiation. We have been told, I think, if I can find it, that major initiation, individualization. Maybe we're not going to find that. Individualization, major. Initiation? Oh, there we have it. Okay, let's take a look here. If we have anything that we have to... For instance, when individualization took place in Lemuria, there are the initiations in which a heavenly man may either take a minor or a major initiation, thereby invoking his entire nature. For instance, when individualization took place in Lemuria or in the third race, the human family in this cycle definitely came into manifestation. It signifies a major initiation for a heavenly man. The present stimulation in hierarchical effort is leading up to a lesser initiation of the fourth kind. Each great cycle sees a major initiation of a heavenly man taken on one or other of the globes, and herein complication lies, here again, and much food for thought. Okay, well, this is page 181, and of initiation human and solar, and I think we have to compare it with what is just said here, IHS 181, because it seems to be a contradiction. And of course, you know, when there are contradictions in what the Master has said, you have to look to yourself first before you fault him for a contradiction. So it signified a major initiation for a heavenly man. Well, here we have a kind of a stimulation. The planetary logos did not come from the Venus scheme, but from the Venus chain of his own scheme. And a systemic alignment was created, perhaps with Mercury or Mars. This caused an acceleration of vibration and enabled the heavenly man of our scheme to take a minor initiation and set about his preparations for a major initiation. Well, let's just say possible solution. Whoop. No, that's wrong. One. Okay, so. Okay, let's take a look here at the possible solution. And this is the following. Maybe. Possible solution, I'll say that. Maybe a minor fourth, just as we, minor third, just as we are now having a minor fourth, led up to the taking of a major first. Could it have been such a short time ago that our planetary logos took his major first initiation, which he still has. He's still a ways from his major second. So this is a possible solution to the problem. You might wonder, well, why worry about such problems at all? But it's just a question of getting planetary history straight as we can possibly get it. And that will, of course, assist us in other ways. Because when a misconception exists in our understanding of some level of the teaching, it so easily transfers into other areas, especially if we attempt to use analogy based upon a misconception. So, the individualization in Lemuria was a major initiation for our heavenly man, and there are two types of initiations mentioned on page 384 of Cosmic Fire. But perhaps something led up to it, namely this systemic alignment between Earth, Venus, and one other planet, which we, I don't know, we could consider it to be Mercury, perhaps. Maybe Mercury is better. And here's why. Maybe Mercury is better because the human kingdom to be will be ruled by Mercury, and the fourth creative hierarchy already is ruled by Mercury. So the angels of Venus and the, we'll call it men, of Mercury were combined on Earth. And it is such a Gemini happening, as here we would have the three rulers of Gemini. So that seems in some way more reasonable. I know Mars is involved because it rules animal man, but the circumstances to engage the fourth creative hierarchy with the fifth creative hierarchy is a matter for Venus and Mercury, each the rulers of the respective hierarchies from the hierarchical sense. Next, it should be remembered that in considering this matter, we must be careful to view it not only as it affects our own globe and its present humanity, but from the systemic and cosmic point of view. Right, we're having difficulty here. All right. As I was saying before, so rudely interrupted by my internet system, we must view these relationships not only as it affects our own globe and its present humanity, but from the systemic or cosmic point of view, or from the angle of its importance to a planetary logos or a solar logos. And I think this, you know, in a way goes without saying. Hence it is a fact that this event was not only the result of the taking of a minor initiation by our Earth logos, but in Venus scheme it was the signaled the taking of a major initiation by the Venusian planetary logos of the fifth chain. Now, what initiation would that have been? Could it have been the second or third cosmic initiation for Venus? Or the fifth initiation of a minor kind? In connection with a solar logos, it follows upon the stimulation of one of his centers, and from the geometrical progression of the fire through the earlier mentioned triangle. And let's go back here to the astrology book and make sure there's no figure here. Earlier mentioned triangle. There's one. Okay. And there are no figures that we have to look at here, especially. Strange things are happening with my computer. Sorry for that. Maybe it's the it appears to be the mouse. All right, perhaps that will help us. Sorry for the delay. In his fifth chain, now presently our planetary locus is in his fourth scheme round, and I think we can say that the logos of Venus is in his fifth chain. All right, and fifth globe. That is reasonable. And probably in his fifth round as well. Probably a scheme round. So taking us back here, the Lord of the Venus scheme was taking a major initiation in his fifth chain. I think by a major initiation, it could be the third cosmic. I think it may coincide with the fifth initiation. Perhaps. Perhaps. Okay. There's something here about the condition of my mouse. I'm sorry. I think I'll unplug the mouse and hope for better. Sorry. All right. Let's hope that this helps us somewhat. In connection with the solar logos, it follows upon the stimulation of one of his centers. Which center is that? Is this the Earth considered as a base of spine center? And from the geometrical progression of the fire through the earlier mentioned triangle, and that triangle, if Mercury is Kundalini in intelligent activity, then perhaps for the solar logos it also represents that. And the triangle of Earth, Venus, and Mercury would signal the circulation or stimulation of the Kundalini fire through Earth and Venus. No doubt, I mean, the important thing to realize is that they are undergoing stimulation very definitely, or did at that time. So there were some major initiations through which Venus was passing. Has Venus really maybe completed its third cosmic or major cosmic? And has it already completed its secondary fifth? Earth is moving towards its second cosmic and is completing or passing through its secondary fourth. Venus is ahead. I think it may be a while, however, before our solar logos will have to advance much before the major cosmic fifth of either Venus or the Earth would be taken. In the case of the Earth, it could fulfill its base of the spine center function in the invoking of its monad on the first ray if it took its major cosmic fifth. This we have talked about before. You know, it's just a question that arises because there are scheme rounds and there are chain rounds. And there are major initiations of a cosmic kind and lesser initiations for the planetary logoi, though still of a cosmic kind. And trying to keep those matters straight brings us into some degree of questioning. It has been stated that 104 Kumaras came from Venus to the Earth. Literally, the figure was 105 when the synthesizing unit, the Lord of the World, is counted as one. But we are speaking more of the Venus chain and not of the Venus scheme. So that is one of the ways that blinding occurs. You refuse to be too specific. You give part of the word, Venus, when it's really Venus chain. So the student is misled unless the student has the acuity to figure this out. And you kind of wonder, you know, 105, but 108 is very important. So what about the esoteric Kumaras? There still remained with him now the three Buddhas of activity. I would call attention to the dual significance of the name Buddha of activity, bearing out as it does the reality of the fact that entities at their stage of evolution are active love wisdom. Because the term Buddha, Buddha suggests the second aspect of divinity and embody in themselves the two aspects. The three Buddhas of activity have a correspondence to the three persons of the Trinity and the three persons of the Logoic Trinity, as the map does show us. Here are the Buddhas of activity, the first, second, and third Kumara, and here are the three persons of the Logoic Trinity. And when it comes to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there is the correspondence, though the Father, in this case, is Sanat Kumara, higher than the Buddhas of activity in one way, and because there is some interesting history there about sacrifice, I think, on the parts of the Buddhas of activity, the Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, perhaps deriving from one of these Kumaras. It seems like a very high energy and would have to be near to the Father, it seems. And the Christ is sort of the representative of the sonship aspect. If we look here in a treatise, well, let's see, Buddha's activity, sacrifice. Let's see. Sanat Kumara sacrifice 3. Here from Initiation Human and Solar, I don't think we find it. Oh, come on. Has the entire computer decided to act up? Sanat Kumara is the incarnation of the Lord of the Ray himself. He is the silent watcher and the great sacrifice. These three great lives, under the law of analogy, they are to set Sanat Kumara what the three mind aspects are. To enable Sanat Kumara to dwell on earth, let's just see if I can do it this way. Buddhas of activity, condition. We'll try that. No. The three Buddhas of activity act in order to tighten up requirements. We'll try one more time. Buddhas of activity and sacrifice or sacrificial. No. Well, there was an element of sacrifice. Let's see. One gets a little bit persistent about these things here. And maybe something can be found. And Buddhas of activity and Sanat Kumara are very clarifying. Okay, here it is. Through them, during their period of incarnation and voluntary sacrifice, the great prototype of the planetary logos began to make his presence felt. And force from the constellation of the Great Bear vibrates on Earth. Well, voluntary sacrifice of the Buddhas of activity, and maybe this will be clarifying here. They are overshadowed by the planetary logos, and he works directly as the initiator in relation to man through Sanat Kumara, and with the three kingdoms of nature through the three Buddhas of activity, and his three pupils, they are pupils, concerning with the other types of consciousness. Let's just see if we can find this. Here I think we have it, what we're looking for. Sanat Kumara has now moved one step ahead of them upon the great cosmic ladder of evolution, for an aspect of the law of sacrifice has conditioned them, Buddhas of activity. However, within the planetary consciousness and among those who work out the divine purposes, there are none who approach the eternal youth and these three Buddhas in point of evolution. They work out their plans, these four great lives, through the medium of the Lord of the Seven Rays, Lords of the Seven Rays. So that shows us right away that the Lords of the Seven Rays, who are the intraplanetary ray lords, are not the Kumaras. That's very important. Under the law of analogy, they are to Sanat Kumara what the three mind aspects upon the mental plane are to the disciple and the initiate. Okay, so we found that, and that's the one we were looking for. It's just that the word them is not Buddhas of activity. So the word sacrifice and conditioned is there. That's how easy it is to miss a reference. So we can put that one aside and put this one aside. And the three Buddhas of activity have a correspondence to the three persons of the Trinity. Now, we're told that there are none who approach their high status on our planet. Yes, this is true, but what about the esoteric Buddhas, or we'll call them the esoteric Kumaras, and there's a changing that occurs, a rotation of these six around Sanat Kumara. So sometimes it appears that the exoteric Buddhas of activity take the place of an esoteric Buddha and an esoteric Kumara, not Buddha, esoteric Kumara becomes one of the Buddhas of activity. What that cycle may be, you know, it's kind of none of our business, but it's interesting to know that it can occur and it is dealt with in a treatise on cosmic fire. Okay. Active love wisdom. Every time you use the word Buddha, it suggests the second aspect. Now, interestingly here, the Buddha, our Buddha, let's call him our Buddha, Buddhic. Our Buddha is a combination of the third ray and the second. Thus, in him, too, love and activity are blended. His monadic ray, the third, and this we learn in Cosmic Fire, about those beings who can put in three separate appearances simultaneously, and they are only third ray monads who can do that, and the Buddha and nine others can do that now. So if only those can do it who are third ray monads and the Buddha can do it, then the Buddha must be a third ray monad. The planetary logos of this scheme is called the first Kumara. Yes, and sometimes the fourth Kumara. The one initiator, and the statement is made that he came to this planet from Venus, Venus being the Earth's primary. This needs elucidation somewhat anyway, though it may not be permitted to do more than convey a few hints as to the truth. The fact is one of the most mysterious in the development of our scheme. So we cannot expect to penetrate this immediately. DK gives hints about initiatory secrets which are not ours to access, but the hint is there and we can begin thinking in that direction. The fact is one of the most mysterious in the development of our scheme, and in it lies hidden the secret of this world cycle. It is not easy to convey the truth and words, but seem to veil and cloak. Well, what is this particular cycle? Because in this case, one thing we can see, that the cycle must be longer than a Platonic year. Of 25,000 years, because we're talking about something that occurred millions of years ago. And we're still in this cycle, and yet it occurred millions of years ago. So what is that cycle? In this case, is the cycle a round, a chain round? Okay. Perhaps a hint may be given by pointing out that there is an analogy between the coming in of the ego in full sway and its taking hold at certain periods in the life of a human being. I think he's going to compare, you know, Sanat Kumara to the ego. SK will be compared to the ego. And notice how the ego is here capitalized. Well, editors can have a lot to do with capitalization, but sometimes a capitalized ego and an uncapitalized ego both mean the same thing, but other times the capitalized ego means the spiritual triad, and can even mean, if all parts of the word are capitalized, capital E, capital G, capital O, maybe even the monad. At 7 years we are told that the ego takes hold, and again at adolescence, at 21 that hold may be made still firmer. Again, as lives are passed, the ego, in connection with the human being, grips its vehicles. Notice the Vulcanian, no, language. The ego grips its vehicles and so sways them, bends them to its purpose with more effect and fullness. The same procedure can be seen in relation to a heavenly man and his body of manifestation, a scheme. It must be remembered, the whole scheme is the body of manifestation, and not just one chakric part of it, a chain, or a subchakric part of it, a globe. It must be remembered that in every scheme, has seven chains, that each chain has seven globes, making a totality of 49 globes, if we leave out the possibility of hidden chains. which are invisible and have globes. That each globe is again in turn occupied by the life of the Logos during what we call seven rounds. And these are chain rounds, making literally 343 incarnations or fresh impulses to manifest. This is a special definition of, special definition of the idea of incarnation as a fresh impulse. It must be remembered that every scheme has seven chains, that every chain has seven globes, making a totality of 49 globes, that each globe is again in turn occupied by the life of the Logos during what we call seven rounds. So in all, we have 7 times 7 times 7, 343, an important number, 343 incarnations of the planetary Logos in some emanation or other. Of the planetary Logos in some incarnation or other, 343 focalizations of the attention of the planetary Logos. We must add to these major manifestations such lesser ones as those named by us root races, sub-races, branch races, and thus we are faced with a complexity that is enough to stagger the average student. So we have to keep multiplying by seven, don't we? And what would we find? We would find this. 343 times 7 times 7 times 7. Whoop! I'm going too fast for the machine. So let's try it again. 343 times 7 equals times 7 equals times 7 equals. So by the time we get to branch races, we have 117,649. By the time we get to branch races, we have 117,000, is what's it, 649? 649. Planetary logoic impulses. The planetary wheel of life turns on its lesser scale, the wheel of life of the little pilgrim we call man. Wheels turning wheels, wheels within wheels, and wheels turning wheels. Wheels within wheels, and wheels turning wheels. As it turns, it sweeps the life of the evolving planetary Logos into ever new forms and experiences until the fire of spirit burns up all the lesser fires. So, what do we learn here? You know, that when considering planetary evolution, we have to have a mathematics, really simply an arithmetic, to assist us. All of these numbers will mean something. I mean, right now we're on the fourth chain, fourth globe, fifth root race, fifth sub-race, what, branch race? And so we probably could find our number, and maybe other people would be in a slightly different number if they were in a different sub-race and different branch race. But we would have a range of numbers which would pretty well determine where we are in this process. So what point are we to make of this? that, in the way that the ego grips, well, let's try to make the point. In the same way that the ego grips the man at certain stages of the incarnation, so the planetary logos grips his incarnation at certain of its phases, more so than at others. Such a time was individualization on our planet, and the coming of the hierarchy. Well, let's call it, maybe we couldn't call it hierarchy at that time, we called it Shambhala hierarchy, via Sanat Kumara and the other 104 or 107 Kumaras. So we might let things go for quite a while in our own development, but occasionally, as a soul, we really concentrate on gripping our instrument. And maybe that occurs at the 7th year, 14th year, 21st year, 28th year, 35th year, every 7 years. DK has also told us to be watchful concerning 10-year cycles, as they are very important as well. As earlier pointed out, each heavenly man is linked with one of his brothers under the law of mutual attraction, which manifests so degradingly as yet upon the physical plane. We might say, in this case, Venus is confused with the sexual impulse. It has a remote something to do with it, but more because it rules the union of the pairs of opposites in a higher sense, which manifests so degradingly as yet upon the physical plane, meaning we're losing our status as human beings by engaging in these degradations, which we think are perfectly normal in the pursuit of pleasure. There's a big problem, but if we don't know occultism, we don't know what that problem really is. So we're linked by mutual attraction to one of our brothers. Law of mutual attraction. There was the law of attraction and repulsion. Is it different from the law of mutual attraction? We might say, is this law different from the of attraction, law of attraction and repulsion? Through the life of the human unit imprisoned in physical form, the man knows his prison. Remember that consummation discussing the interplay between Scorpio and Taurus. At the moment of consummation, the man knows his imprisonment. Psychically, the link is of a different nature. And such a link is found between the planetary logos and the scheme of the scheme we call Venus and the logos of our scheme. This psychic, so it's a psychic interaction, and if it's psychic, it involves the second aspect of divinity. The psychic interaction has its ebb and flow, just the way it does with a man's soul and his personality. As ebbs and flows all life forces, under cyclic dualism. In the Myrian days came a period of close interaction which brought about the incarnation on the physical planet of the Lord of our scheme, the head of the hierarchy, and the one initiator. The logos of our scheme, the head of the hierarchy, and the one initiator. Well, in a way, these are all the same being. Because the logos of our scheme is represented by Sanat Kumara as an emanation. He is the head of the hierarchy, and he is the one initiator. So let us realize, that Venus, as a planet, was indeed involved in the individualization process by its psychic approach to our planetary logos, stimulating our planetary logos in such a way that the solar angels could be invoked, evoked, and interpositional or interventional individualization could occur. So there was a close approach in Lemurian days. It came a period of close interaction between the logos of Venus and the logos of our Earth. One can see how important it would be to attempt to study cosmic fire in this way. You know, I wish, you know, probably something of value happened with all of that writing, just, you know, maybe thousands of pages of writing in the attempt to interpret these things. But not so much flexibility of mind. And maybe the explanatory power is greater using the verbal commentaries. It's a little messier, but maybe the missing idea can be presented in enough different ways that the reader can get it, and maybe even the writer can get it. This could not have been affected had not the planetary logos of Venus scheme been in a position to link up closely with ours. So, although Sanatkumara did not come from Venus, the impression of Venus upon our planetary logos and his emanation, Sanatkumara, made all these activities surrounding, well, why not just say it, made individualization possible. So Venus was involved. Venus, we can't, let's see, both the heart of the sun and Venus were involved. We cannot say no. Sometimes he says, well, let's clarify it. It was really the Venus chain of our Earth scheme that was involved, but if Venus had not stimulated our Earth with its higher form of Manus, we might say, because a lower form of Manus was already growing, we might say, but no Inus in animal man. And the higher form of Manus is reflective. It's a mirror. You can hold the mirror up to the perceiving center. Venus is the mirror. And via Venus, the mirror can be held up to the perceiving center so that it too is perceived, and this is the birth of lower ego. I have to say lower ego because higher ego involves the soul plane and is not what animal man perceives. The cosmos, our solar system, with the Pleiades and one of the stars of the Great Bear form a cosmic triangle or an aggregation of three centers in the body of him of whom naught may be said. Well, you know, you could almost say that this is true of all the stars in the Great Bear, but I think we dealt with this before. The seven stars in the constellation of the Great Bear are the correspondences to the seven head centers in the body of that being greater than our logos. That is a very important piece of information which can contribute to interpretation. Again, two other systems, when allied with the solar system and the Pleiades, make a lower quaternary, which are eventually synthesized into the seven head centers in much the same way as in the human being after the fourth initiation. Well, there's great information here, and I did go over this before. Great information here, and I did discuss this. When it comes to our solar logos, who is the second ray solar logos, we could say our solar system on the second ray with the Pleiades, the dispenser of cosmic booty, and one of the stars of the Great Bear, is it Mizar? Form a cosmic triangle. At least Mizar would have a special connection with our second-ray solar system, who may even eventually have a second-ray monad. Well, if he does have a second-ray monad, he has it now. It's just occultly non-effective, just the way the monad of our planet, because of its non-sacred stature, is occultly non-effective. So there's such things as non-sacred solar logoi and sacred solar logoi, and our solar logos is, I suppose, fighting for sacredness in the same way that our planetary logos is, but on two different levels. Again, to other systems, when linked with the, so, well, I remember doing this, is this solar system a one-star conventional system or a seven-major starred system, which is really a constellation? So one way of doing this is the Pleiades are, we're interested in the lower quaternary here, you know. And the lower quaternary has to do with personality. We have done this. So we looked for starry systems that could link up with our seven solar systems, of which ours is one. The seven solar systems of which ours is one. And, you know, we looked for something which could be, what? The sacral center. The Pleiades could take the place of the throat center. But when dealing with the lower quaternary, should the base of the spine center be included? In a way it should be, even though it's not activated. And so is it, is Draco really of the lower quaternary? Or, as Nicholas seems to think, should we use a cross, a southern cross, which is in a way, has four arms, just as the base of the spine center has a fourness to it. So is there a constellation which is the higher analog of this base of the spine center, just as our seven solar systems could be considered to be the solar plexus, and then we'd need something for the sacral center. And that has yet to be determined. The role of the centaur could come in there. We are surrounded by constellations, many of which are not zodiacal constellations, and they do play their role in this one about whom not may be said. And maybe the centaur is one such, because he's certainly associated with sacral energy. I mean, Sagittarius and Mars, even though the centaur is associated with the constellation Virgo. Well, what do we have to sort out here? Are we speaking of the three conventional one-star systems, or of three non-conventional seven major starred systems, which are really constellations? Well, we have to go on a hunt. And in the future schools, this can be worked out when the law of correspondences really does begin to reveal cosmic structure. A clue tending towards the correct understanding lies hidden in the words, Venus is the Earth's primary. Also, the other term is alter ego. And prototype. It, in simple words, sets the example for the logos of Earth. And there are often these dual relationships here, you know. Here's Master KH and DK together, with Master KH, I suppose, setting the example. Here is Venus and the Earth on a planetary level. Here's Sirius and our solar logos, Sol or Helios. So yes, each is in a way the primary to the other. Does our sun set any kind of example in that way, perhaps to Alpha Centauri, perhaps? Although, surprisingly, of these neighboring solar systems, the sun has the least luminosity. It is not permitted to say much about this mystery that Venus is the Earth's alter ego, nor is it advisable, but certain ideas may be suggested which, if brooded upon, may result in a wider grasp of the beauty of nature's synthesis and the wonderful correlation. This is it, of all that is in the process of evolution. And there, when I see those words, wonderful correlation, I seem to recognize an ideal in my own consciousness about what can be done when reading Master DK's words. Pondering on them and seeing the relationships between the entities and ideas they represent. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 160A. And I'm sure, and we find ourselves on page 684. And we beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 160B, page 684.